Hi there, you're listening to the Paralegals on Fire podcast show, where you'll be getting tips and actionable strategies that you can use right now to fast track your paralegal career. I'm your host, Ann Pearson, former paralegal and paralegal manager who left big law in the concrete jungle to start my own company, the Paralegal Bootcamp, where we give online courses that help paralegals make more money, increase their job security, and cut out the learning curve. All right, let's jump right into today's episode. Hi, it's Ann Pearson. I want to jump in here real quick and ask a huge favor of you, our listeners. We need some reviews on Apple. The more reviews we get, particularly if they're written reviews, not just five-star reviews, which, by the way, I appreciate all of the people who have put in their five-star reviews, but in order to get the word out, in order for more paralegals to find this podcast, we need some more reviews. So I'm going to ask you to please give us a review, and here's how you do it. I know Apple doesn't make it very easy. So in the Apple podcast player, which you can, even if you listen to this on the website or in another podcast player, you can still jump into Apple and do this. So you go to the top right menu, click on Go to Show. Then when you go to the show page, you've got to scroll all the way down towards the bottom of the page, tap the stars to rate it, and then scroll past that first review in order to find the link that says write a review. I would love to be able to go in and read all of your reviews. So the last one that was written was a year ago, and we have grown exponentially since then. So my challenge is to get 100 ratings from paralegals. I'd appreciate the time. Thank you so much. All right, let's jump into this week's episode. I've got a very special guest joining me today. So if you listen to other paralegal podcasts, I might not even have to tell you his name because you'll recognize his voice. Tony Sipp is the co-host of the Paralegal Voice podcast. Tony's the practice assistant manager at Kirkland & Ellis. He has more than 16 years in the legal profession, and he's the former president of the Los Angeles Paralegal Association. And I just saw he's now the vice president of membership and policy there, and so much more. If I were to read you guys everything Tony has done and continues to do for the paralegal profession, I'd use up the entire episode time reading it all. So we'll put it in the episode page for you to read more. So welcome to the show, Tony.
Thank you, Ann.
And congratulations on the new position.
Yes, thank you. I'm excited.
I understand, like, literally as we record this, you're just starting this week.
Exactly. Tomorrow.
So I can't even ask how the new job's going.
I know. But I have a feeling it's going to be great.
Me too. Well, so prior to that, you were a paralegal manager.
Yes.
And I'm sure some of the listeners see different titles on LinkedIn. And I wonder if you can maybe explain the difference for somebody who just doesn't understand. What's the difference between a paralegal manager and a practice assistant manager?
So the paralegal manager is leading a team of paralegals that have to bill, in my situation, 7.1 hours a day. So my goal as a manager, as a coach, as a supporter, is to make sure that they're able to accomplish the firm's goals as well as their individual goals. So it really kind of has a crossover effect with the practice assistant manager, who's doing the same things and making sure that, like, I guess in my position, I always want to see people in a position of thriving instead of surviving. So to that extent, the crossover is similar because I want to see everyone excel at what they're doing. So for me, it doesn't change that much, even though I'm going to also be supporting legal assistants, secretaries as well. But the same goal remains. And I'm excited to get started and get this going because it's just something I enjoy about management as opposed to being a paralegal, for example. You have to learn social skills. You have to learn communication skills. You have to learn what motivates people. All of those things are important. I would say that the similarities or the contrast would be the same. Contrast only being that let's add on secretaries, legal assistants, and other people that are supportive of the practice.
I see. So it would be where anybody who works in the practice, whether they bill time or not.
Right.
So you're not just managing paralegals, you're managing everybody.
Right.
Okay. That makes sense. We had so much to talk about during our pre-interview call. I can't remember how long it was, but I think it was like an hour or so when I reached out to see if you'd be a guest. And at first, I thought it was going to be hard to pick a topic because there's so many topics I could cover with somebody with your experience. But I think what the audience might be most interested in hearing about, especially from someone who's been in management like you have, is knowing when it's time to cut the cord and make a career move and go to another firm or another role. And you've just recently done that. And you did that once before, too. Can you give me an idea of how do you know when it's time?
It depends on you and what your goals are and what you're trying to accomplish. I have big dreams. There's so many things I want to accomplish in my lifetime before I leave this world. One of the firms I was at 5 years plus, I enjoyed the job. I loved what I was doing. But then my wife approached me and she said, I want to start my own business. You know, she's in the Hollywood entertainment industry. You know, she's a manager. I said, okay. You know, I mean, if that's your dream, that's what you want to accomplish, I'm going to help you accomplish that. I mean, I'm your husband. I'm going to support you. That said, I realized that I had to leave my job because now we're going to go from a two-person income to a one-person income for a while. That's the reality of trying to start your own business. So I moved to a situation, and this ties into the 90 days, exactly 90 days. I left that position to do something that I was familiar with, something I enjoyed doing, like PI. It was what I went into, employment law, et cetera. I left that position to go there economically and knowing that I was capable of doing that job. And then after maybe a month, a cockroach crossed my monitor. And I just did not know how to handle that. It was just really just bizarre to me because I've never had that happen. And I'm like, I texted my wife and I said, this is my last day. Like, I'm done. I'm not doing this. There's no cockroaches. I didn't even have lunch in my office. There's no reason for it to be there. So that happened. And then some unethical things happened. And I was like, I'm done. So I connected with a recruiter, got me a job at the job I'm at now. And it was, you know, it worked out. It worked out. So you have to check the checkboxes. You have to make sure that the move you're going to make, think it through. Make sure that you are checking all the boxes. What is your reason for leaving, right? Is it that the communication is poor? In my situation, it's not only communication, but kind of habitability. So I just wanted to make sure that I checked all the boxes, and I did before I made that move. It turns out that in exactly 90 days, I moved on to the next firm. And I'm better for it because look at me now, right? So you can make those decisions with the right intent. And as a person that hires people as well, I look for those kind of like, well, why were you there only for like 4 months, 6 months, or whatever the case may be? And if you have a good reason for why you were there, okay. You know, you don't want your resume. Like my history is long-term. I have long-term, 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 90 days, long-term, 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 right?
Right.
And it was like, I already established who I was and my brand, my reputation, who I am. And I didn't have a problem letting that go to seek something that was in the vein of where I wanted to go and be a better person, a contributor to the access to justice, and I was able to accomplish that. So I'm excited about the move. I'm excited about this next move, and I'm just going to keep going.
From what I'm hearing from other managers and recruiters is that it's not as taboo as it used to be when someone has a short little stint. And so do you feel like that? Like, is that as someone reviewing someone's resume in a management position, somebody who's been at a couple of jobs less than 2 years because they made a mistake? You're okay with that?
You have to explain it to me, though. I will interview you because on paper, you know this, but on paper, a lot of people look good. I want to know about the little oops and their jobs, because everybody has that. You're human. That happens. You chose a job. I chose a job that I thought I would be good at. And because of my experience, I look at other resumes like, okay, fine. Just tell me what happened. Don't say that you left the job because they didn't like me. Well, no. What was it? In my case, ethics, right? I couldn't do that for another day. So I left. You have to be able to explain it. You know, if you get like more than two on your resume, you got to have a good reason. But overall, you have the right to pursue happiness. And if that job is not allowing that for you, fine. But tell me about it. What's your goal? What's your desire? What are you trying to accomplish? And it needs to be bigger than I want to be the senior paralegal. Okay, great. But let's explore what your real goal is at the end. Are you trying to make the community better? Are you trying to make the world better? Like, what is your goal? I need something that says, yeah, you're the right fit and I'll bring you in. I'll give you a shot. I'll let the other interviewers interview you so that you can really pursue your dream, because I'm not somebody who's going to stop you from pursuing your dream.
I love that. I want to back up and repeat what Tony just said. So you guys maybe do the 30-second rewind and go back and listen to that answer, because what he said was you have a right to pursue happiness. And yeah. So when I jump on these Facebook groups and make the mistake of scrolling through some of there, and I hear these complaints from people that are just working for downright abusive attorneys, right. For low salaries, and they're not being paid overtime, like all these egregious things. And I just think to myself, you have got to get out. And I understand you don't want to take the chance of being unemployed, but you're causing yourself health damage, you know?
It's true. It's yeah. Very true. It's funny, and I'll just share the story with you. I went into my office for the last day, and one of the secretaries looked at me and she said, "You look less stressed." Was I that stressed looking when I was working here? And I work from home, so like her seeing me was just kind of like, okay. But she meant it in a favorable way. You look more relaxed, more calm. And I was like, yeah, it's true. I am. I was trying to make the world better one person at a time. With my paralegals, I wanted to, and they know this, and I got my flowers before I left, as they say. And it was just great to know that the leadership that I provided was something that they desired, they'll miss, and they'll stay in contact with me. Because even though I'm not at that particular employer, I'm still a part of the community, and I want to make sure that everyone thrives. So to that extent, they let me know that that message was received and that they can count on me in that way. So that I appreciate.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. I tell people a lot of times, like, if you think it's stressful being a paralegal, don't become a paralegal manager.
No, it's a whole different skill set.
Yeah. It was crazy. Like after I left and started my business, it was probably maybe 2 or 3 years in where I realized, holy cow, Big Law is finally out of me. Like it took that long to kind of like cleanse me of like the grinding of my teeth at night and kinds of other stuff. So, yeah. Well, so if we could back up just a minute, though. So you've got someone with a few gaps, maybe two, right? Maybe they're a year or less even, mm-hmm. or a 90-day thing. Do they address that in their cover letter? Because how would you even pull them in for an interview if they had a couple of gaps like that?
That's a good question, Ann. What I would say is, like, first, for anybody applying for any position, look at the job description. And I say that because your resume will never get to my face if you're not using the keywords. You have to, it's an automated system that screens out, like, you know, this person has 8 out of 10 of your qualifications. And if you have a resume that you worked through with a recruiter on your own and you don't hit the keywords that are in the job description, I don't see you. But the benefit of having me as a paralegal manager is that I'm looking for DEI. I want to make sure that the firm is diverse. We have equity, we have inclusion, we have belonging. And not everybody does that. I did an interview with a person at my firm who was talking about implicit bias. And one of the things he did was to remove the names on resumes. And it just worked out better for him to pick out actual candidates that were based upon their performance, their experience, everything. One of the things I hated, and I'll just share, Anne, with my earlier career, is that I walked out of one of my offices when I was like much younger, and I realized that I was wearing the khaki pants and the blue shirt and the tie that everybody else in the firm was wearing as well. And then I realized that, you know, my voice matters, right? So as I moved up in my career, that I choose to find people who are qualified, capable, and have a different voice that they can add to the conversation, which makes everything better, whether it be with the firm, with the client, insert here. I just noticed that it made a big difference and a big impact on everything as a whole. And I enjoyed looking for those people. You know, I'm proud of my accomplishments and the people that we hired for the firm, because it's really diverse. And I love it. I'd like to look back and just go, yeah, this person is going to be good at this and they're going to excel at that. And I learned that from the interview. I can see your personality. I can see what your added value is. And hopefully everybody else does, because it's there. It's clear to me.
I love hearing that, Tony. Like, gosh, I just like that it's not just a slogan on the side of the wall plastered.
Yes.
Oh, we do DEI here,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. But let's do it, because they do it with the partners. They don't normally do it with staff, you know? And I'm hiring staff and I want to make sure that, okay, let's reflect the values of the firm. Like actually reflect the values of the firm. So
I have to, because a lot of people who are listening, they're new paralegals. Well, right. I have senior paralegals who listen too, so they might not realize like the length to which it takes. When I'm thinking back to my paralegal manager days, so I left the firm in 2010, well before there was any discussion on DEI or anything along those lines. And right. I had a hard enough time filling positions based on skills. Like I would think to myself, if I had to then also, like it was personality though, it was, will they make a good fit for the team? Because I was very strict about, once I got a really good team together, I'm like, there's going to be no bad apples taken out my team.
Right.
So I think probably a lot of that would have been covered in there. But to that's taken it a whole other level to say, and we're going to do this. So I imagine there's, I mean, does it take longer to fill positions?
Yes, it does. One of my challenges is that, you know, as I start the day checking the job boards, is that I was getting a lot of new lawyers that just got their JDs, or some people with their LLMs, or some people that were completely out of state and we weren't doing remote. We still wanted to do, you know, come into the office. But it takes a little bit longer to find, but I also advertise not in the traditional ways. Like you have the Indeed, you have LinkedIn, you have ZipRecruiter, you have, you know, insert here. Because I'm involved with the community, I advertise in those job boards on LinkedIn, on Facebook, on, you know, different platforms to attract a different clientele that may not know about those other platforms to apply to. And man, did I hit it. Like I go out in the community and I like speak to students about becoming paralegals and try to get them, you know, prepared for the next step. And it's just amazing who pops up and has experience. And that's another thing, Anne, that I talk about. It's like, come as you are, you know? You may have been practicing in a different industry. Let's say you were an accountant for 20 years. That's just what you did. And for some reason, you decided to be a paralegal. But you can't find a job because they don't want accountants. They want somebody who has paralegal experience. You go to school, you get your experience. And then you realize that the job that as a paralegal, and I, at least I realize it, you know, I'm sure some others have as well, is that that accounting experience plays very well in the legal field. You can do a lot with accounting. So take your skill set that you already have. Don't be discouraged. Take it, move forward with it. It may take you a little bit of time, but you'll get there. And there's going to be an employer that wants your skill set, and that's going to be like the fit that works for you. Don't be shy. Don't feel like, oh, I don't have, you know, 16 plus years of experience in legal, but I have experience in XYZ. You know, you can do it regardless. You can do it. Come as you are.
I love that. But now from the management side, how do you get the buy-in from the attorneys who typically go, when there's an opening, they're going to say, we want somebody who can hit the ground running. We need 15 years of trial experience. How do you get past that?
It's a harder one. Because as you know, like the great resignation happened. All of those experienced, skilled people left and they're done. They retired. I'm done. I'm out. Great. And then we had this kind of emergence of kind of the new paralegals coming in that wanted to work from home, and they didn't buy into the standards, the normal standards of, you know, brick and mortar. They want work-life balance, which I understand. I mean, for the last 3 years, I've been doing work from home. It's worked for me. You know, I've been able to do well, and my paralegals have been able to do well. Yeah, it's a hard thing.
So what your other, the last firm that you were at, so because you haven't started at Kirkland yet, I guess till tomorrow, but so at the other firm, as the manager, you were work from home. Were all the paralegals also work from home?
Yeah, they had the option of working from home in person or a hybrid. 2020, we were forced to work from home. And that's where I pushed the paralegals to make sure that they stood out and not stick out, stand out.
That's right.
And that's what happened. Our goal was 7.1. We hit 7.2. It was fantastic. Everybody was really trying their best to be their best. And I loved it. And we did well. So it's like we proved that we can work from home. We don't have to go into the office to do a 2-hour commute or whatever the commute is to get to the office and back from the office. It's just,
especially in LA, I mean, jeepers, all the emissions that just your one firm alone saved LA.
So it's sick, right?
Yeah,
there's so much. And like people, like I'm not exaggerating when I say 2 hours to get to work. Some people do that. Some people do that, you know, to do an 8-to-5. It's not an 8-to-5. It's add 4 hours to that, right?
Atlanta was the same way, somewhat, depending on where you lived in Atlanta.
You know, I don't like to see that. The brick and mortar, I don't know. And I don't know what's going to happen with the brick and mortar. But I know that a lot of people in this new generation coming behind us, they're very vocal about their feelings and what they will do and won't do. So that's going to be an interesting topic to discuss, you know, moving forward. So we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, we could have a whole other episode about this. But I do have to add to you, it's funny that you say that. I was just having a conversation with a recruiter last week or the week before who said, you know, they just need to suck it up, Buttercup, and get their butts in the office. Like, we're done, you know, pandering to this generation who thinks they don't have to work. And you know what? Someone else would just take the job. And I'm thinking to myself, no, they won't take the job.
They're not. There's not.
Because, like, you can see that you're not filling the position, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I just read an article about somebody's like, return to work, go into the office. And he's on his third, it's a CEO. He was on his third wave of layoff. And it was just like, why are you telling people to come to the office when you're just laying off people in like waves? So yeah, of course they're not going to work for you, you know? And that's it. They have options, especially right now. They have options. Every paralegal, every legal professional has options. And they're getting paid very well to leave. You know, some are poached, sure. Others, you know, you may, and don't become complacent, you know? That's one of the biggest things. I became complacent in one of the jobs that I realized that, you know, once I left, and then being in the situation where you can actually, I don't know, how do I put it? Like, you can help yourself, you can help others. I'm a big person for helping the firm and helping the community. Whatever I can do to facilitate that, I'm about. But millennials are not going to accept you must. do this. You must be in the office for, you know. And I think a lot of it is the must is, and I'm still a proponent of having that face-to-face, you know, with the people I work with. But after that, you know, you kind of have your security. You know that they know who you are and vice versa in having that element to them. But having the conversation about it, and I did one on DEI like last year, but that was one of the big elements. They're going to tell every other person that they know, don't do it. Don't do it. And then they won't. And if they do it, you know, they won't be there for long.
Yeah, it's amazing. I bet it's the same way. Tell me if it's the same way in LA. So Atlanta has, at the time, had, I don't know, 6-7 million people. Big law firms, like the ones that I worked for, had thousands of attorneys, and there were bigger ones in town. But the legal profession within that, within the tens of thousands of people who worked in law firms in Atlanta, mm-hmm. we knew what the bad firms were. Like, don't go there. Or oh, yeah, this firm pays a lot more because it's hazard pay, right? You would know what firms were paying hazard pay.
Right.
So is it the same in LA where it's like, yeah, word gets out to people. Like, that's why you're not filling that position.
Yeah, it's a small circle in the legal community. Everybody knows everybody, even if you think they don't know everybody, they do. So I was reading the People Element. They were talking about how to keep new employees from quitting first 90 days. And it turns out that according to a 2020 Job Seeker National Report, 30% of employees leave during their first 90 days on the job.
Wow.
First 90 days. That's a lot, you know? And for the people that left, you know, was because the day-to-day role was not what they had expected, with 41% of respondents marking this as a reason for leaving. The other top ones are having a strong onboarding process, you know, not matching the job description, regular check-ins. You know, et cetera. You know, I mean, sometimes, and I feel bad sometimes, like it's hard for me because I know that I'm doing the right thing and giving that person an opportunity, but I know the toxic, you have to like be able to overcome certain things. So it can be very challenging for a new employee, but I try my best to make sure that I find somebody that has broad shoulders, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But all that said, the same issue happens in Atlanta that it happens in LA. And it's still a paralegals market, an employees market right now. So they have choices and they know it. And they know it.
So that 90-day report, that reminds me. So in your position, when you decided, okay, 90 days, cut the cord, got to go.
Right.
Was that one that we talked about also where it was an issue where you realized like, holy cow, they don't even have e-discovery tools here. Like there was no, like you were going to lose your technology, right?
Yeah. For this particular situation, no, that wasn't it. It was an ethical situation. For the other positions, I knew because again, involved with the community. You have to, folks, get involved with your paralegal associations, local and national. It will benefit you tremendously. And do it when you're a student. I wish I took advantage of that when I was a student. I didn't know. And now I know. And I was the president of LAPA. And like, I really know that this technology is taking over. And it's something that's going to benefit the whole. There's other situations, there's other reasons for leaving, like the culture might be bad. You might have a situation where the boss is a tyrant, you know, you didn't know it, but, you know, true colors come out, right? But there's situations that you need to leave, just need to leave and, you know, pursue happiness, really. It's toxic to you, your family, your situation, everything. You don't want to stay in that situation. You want to be in a position where you're happy, that you thrive, that you're like, wake up in the morning, like jumping out of bed, like let's go. Let's like, this is going to be, I can't wait to get to work. If you're not feeling that way, look inside. There's something that's preventing you from that happiness, that joy. You shouldn't feel depressed. You shouldn't feel underappreciated. That's one of the biggest things. One, the under appreciated employees that are the best employees. Those people, I was just talking to a coworker where they gave them a bonus less than the bonus that they gave the year before.
Yeah.
That's not right. There's nothing right about that.
With no explanation, like
no explanation.
Money short this year.
Yeah, nothing, nothing, nothing. And that's hurtful, right? Mm-hmm. It's very hurtful. So it's just, I don't like to see that. I understand why that person left. You know, I mean, I would leave too. Like, but you don't appreciate what I bring to the table. I get it. But you got to make that call based upon where you're at. Are you in the financial position to say no? Do you have to suck that up and grit it out for 6 months until? But you got to make that decision for yourself. And that's why I stress writing down your goals. When you put pen to paper, it makes a difference. You actually start to focus on those goals that you want to accomplish in your life. And if you're wrong, and that's what happens, you pick a job. I picked a job. I was wrong. That's not what I wanted. I pivot, you know, and I go back into something else. You know, in my case, insurance defense. I left insurance defense, went PI back into insurance defense. So, and now I'm doing a big pivot, doing something completely different from what I'm comfortable with, right?
But that's where you grow, right?
Yeah, that's exactly where you grow. And I know that. I know I can learn. I know I can accomplish that. I know I'm going to be successful in doing that. I have no doubt about that. You have to move yourself into a situation that makes you uncomfortable. If you're not feeling uncomfortable and you're just complacent, get out of that. You don't want to do that unless you're like trying to retire and you're like, oh, okay, I want to, I'm fine doing this for the rest of the time I have to do this. But if you're not, grow, you know, who are you not to shine? Who are you not to be great? So just go out there and do it. You know, be the best person that you can be that day, every day, you know? So I live my life that way. And I really want more people to do that. And when I see that in people, I want to bring them on board and I'm going to do it at the next place. So yeah, don't make yourself small. Tap into your potential and everything that you know about yourself. And even if you think you're not the best, you're better than you think you are. But you have to put yourself out there. You have to try. You have to give it a shot because, man, it can be life-changing.
I love that. I love that. We're going to have to pull some clips on that. That's going to be that's going to be all over social media. I've got to tell you, Tony, just listening to you, and plus your voice is just so warm and friendly and engaging, and listening to like what type of manager you are. I mean, Kirkland is lucky to have you, and I can't imagine how great of a program they're going to have. Well, first of all the listeners on this podcast are going to be trying to find you. They're going to stalk you on LinkedIn, and they're going to be applying.
Stalking me.
they're going to be like, I want to work for him. So that's just so great to see somebody like that.
Thank you.
Just because managers make a huge difference. We all know that. Yeah. We don't have to cite all the studies out there. Well, before I let you go, please, can I ask you one final question?
Of course.
So knowing what you know now, after 16, 17 years of being a paralegal and managing paralegals, if you could go back to brand new baby paralegal Tony and give him a piece of advice, and you could just pick one piece of advice, what would that be?
I was a bit timid moving forward. Like, I was just unsure, not confident, you know, et cetera. But embrace your skill set that you already have and accomplish something more than you want to accomplish, because everything is bigger than you. Like, I wanted to be an attorney. I wanted to be like, I don't know, a police officer, right? All those things that I'm glad I didn't do because it made me a better person now for what I'm doing now. You have to get outside of your comfort zone and put yourself in a situation where your light can shine, right? Everybody has this gift, I believe. Everyone has a gift. So tap into your gift that you have and let everybody know that you have this gift. That's something that can't be taken away from you. It's yours. You have it. So tap into that gift and share it with the world, because we appreciate that. We appreciate you. having that gift. And please let it shine. Let it shine. I mean, I really can't emphasize enough to not play small in this world. You only have a short time on this earth. Like, just maximize it. Do the best that you can be. Be the best person that you can be. And don't be afraid. You're going to falter. You're going to fall. And you're going to get knocked down. But stand back up, because you have a lot to give to this earth, to this world. So be the best person that you can be. Be kind to each other and tap into your gift. Once you do that, and once you realize that this is the gift that I have, you're unstoppable. Just go. I think that's my advice I would give to my younger self.
Aw, brand new Tony would have appreciated
brand
that.
Brand new Tony, yeah.
Or brand new paralegal Tony.
Yeah. Still.
Yeah. So many people are going to get inspired by that. Well, I don't want to keep you any longer. I know we kind of are starting to run over here, so I will let you go. But thank you so much, Tony. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne. I appreciate it.
All right, that's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's show, hit the subscribe button in whatever platform you're listening. And please take a quick minute and leave a review of the podcast and share this episode with just one colleague or friend who you think would benefit from what we discussed today. Share the knowledge and the entire paralegal profession elevates. See you next week. Bye for now.